doing my best to keep away right now. I don't want nobody to be able to say that they got it from the preacher or the preacher's family. But praise the Lord. It's good to be with you tonight. Tonight we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight because I just really don't know how long my voice will hold out. But we're going to have our prayer time, and we're going to do some study. But before we get going, I want us to open up in a word of prayer. And if you do have prayer needs, send them to us. We may not get them called out tonight, but we will get them called out. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can remember how to do this thing. All right. I can't. So I ain't gonna mess with it. But we will get those on our prayer needs, and probably some of these but might be not in a place where they need specific prayer for an issue. So if that's going on, just let us know, and we'll take them off our prayer list. But let's have a word of prayer, and then let's sing a song, and we'll get into our study tonight. But I want to remind you this, and it's good to say it. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it is good to be in your house. And Heavenly Father, Lord, even though, Lord, it may not be in the manner that we're accustomed to, God, it is wonderful, Heavenly Father, Lord, to have a family of God around us and that love us. And God, I just pray tonight you forgive me of my sins, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as we study, Lord, that you'll be glorified in it, and that we'll have a better and closer relationship with you after it's all said and done. But God, again, we thank you, I praise you, and I love you. Thank you for first loving me, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, just a simple song tonight. I looked up the words to this, and you may know all of the verses. It's a real short song, but I believe it's the fundamental foundation that I, as a pastor, stand upon. And I believe that as Thomas Village Baptist Church, we stand on this. And the song is Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. I didn't know all those verses to that, and I'm sorry you had to put up with my singing tonight. But again, it is good to be back with you. God willing, this Sunday we'll kindly be back in regular mode. As we begin tonight, just starting out with praise, I want to praise the Lord for the healing hand of God. I'm to the point that I believe no matter what, that God will bring us through whatever we're intended to bring to go through. And he's in control of it all. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for medications. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that called, text, messaged, and all that. And we were praying that 500 shoeboxes for Operation Children, Christmas Child go out. Well, there were 696 boxes that passed through here. We had 202 on our own, and then other churches came along beside of us, and Brother Paul made sure it got to the right place, and everyone that came down here and said, we're thankful for all the effort that was put in there. And so just praise God. There's so much to praise the Lord for. I missed Thanksgiving. I didn't get to do a Thanksgiving message, but Lord willing, we'll be around for Christmas and be able to make up for it. But as we do think of our prayer needs tonight, we do, number one, want to remember the lost. We want to pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because everything else, and we're going to talk about that tonight, everything else is temporal except for where we'll spend our afterlife, our eternity. And we need to get a burden for lost souls. We need to get a burden for those that are backslidden, those that's drifted away from the Lord. And we want to pray for marriages and the depressed, those that are down and out. Pray for our church. I mean, as we go through some of these prayer needs, I tell you, the devil and life, a lot of it's just life, is really hard right now. We do want to pray for Sister Jeanette Carter. As many of you know, she's fell and broke her leg. I've not spoken with her, but I have been in contact with Brother Don since Monday. I've texted with him every day. I spoke with him on Monday, but she's at a rehab facility, NHC, and she had a good day today, had a good night's rest, so we give God the glory for that. But there's some mending that's got to be done. We want to lift them up. I want to pray for Brother Joe Carter. Brother Tommy Mullins had his surgery. Brother, we're praying for you and believing that God's going to bring total healing there. And then Sister Phyllis Baker, Miss Wilma, and Mr. Don Daniels, we want to pray for them. Sister Melissa and Frank, all that's going on there. We want to pray for Brother Paul Arwood. I want to pray for Brother Scott Carter. I'll give another praise report. Praise God, Brother Keith and Sister Jessica. They've come through it, Lord willing. Continue to pray for my wife, as she's probably in the middle of it right now. She was able to get her infusion today, and so we give God the glory for that. We want to pray for Sister Melanie Lester, Sister Pam, and Brother Jasper Brown. Continue to pray for them. Text with them. We're thankful for them. Lily Skelton and Robin Burl Jennings. Let's pray for the COVID sick. It's the real deal. I'm telling you that it's real. Michelle and Aaron Robbins, Mary Jane Carter, Delbert and Martha Gillette family, Miss Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Brother David Carter, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, Gerald Newton, Gene Rose, Charlie Taylor, John, Stephanie, and Brenda Stenicky, Ivan Scott and family, Lisa Eastep, Miss Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Larry Spears, Deborah Raines, Mickey O'Neill, Brother Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stenham, Brother Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Biller, Debbie B. Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy C.C. Hold on, I lost my place. Margaret Williams, Sister Jessie Bull, and Sister Pam Savarsky in their home. Stanley Williams and wife Sandy, God has been good there. Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdry, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, family, Larry Rasnick, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Vivian Eden, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans, Opal and Grayson, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Doris Williams family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Ethan Bowen, Paul Stoyer and Thomas, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Ricky Sheffield, James Connor, and then also Katie. Her daddy, she cut my hair. I don't remember the name she gave me, but her daddy's in the hospital with pneumonia, and others are sick there. And you say, Preacher, why do you read out those names every service or most services? And the reason is because we've promised these people we'd pray for them. And I do the same for the people in this church. I try to on a daily basis. But that's the greatest thing we can do for them is to pray for them. And we're never more powerful than when we're on our knees with the Lord. So we want to continue to pray for our first responders and all that's those that are doing things. I tell you, and these nurses and all that they're doing, standing in harm's way, God bless them. And we need to pray for them. And then let's remember our police and all that's going on there as we remember the young officer that gave his life protecting our area. And then I know that there's many more tonight. And if you have any, you just text me, Facebook, message me, or something like that. But again, hallelujah, God is in control. And praise the Lord, as a believer, this is the only hell we're ever going to have to face. So again, if you do have a prayer need, call it out right now. And we'll pray in agreement with you and that that God will work it out for His glory and for your good. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer right now, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have given me the privilege and the opportunity to be back at church. And God, I thank you that you've called me to preach your word and to teach your word. And God, I pray that I never take it for granted. And Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've lifted up these names tonight, as we thank of Sister Jeanette tonight, and we thank of Heavenly Father, Lord, Brother Don and Sister Wilma, Heavenly Father, Lord, and those that's going through COVID sickness. And as we think about those, Lord, that are sick, those that's tending to the sick, and even those that's dealing with the loss of a loved one, whether it be through COVID or whatever, Heavenly Father, Lord, we know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that people are going through situations tonight. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you are in control, and that when we can't understand what's going on, when we're feeling the pressures of this world, Heavenly Father, Lord, one, we are doing it for the sake of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that you've called us and found us worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you too, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you said that you would bring me through this. And God, that Heavenly Father, Lord, that you will not allow my enemies to triumph over me. And God, not for my sake, but because of your name's sake. And so, God, we lift up all of these needs, and we thank you, Lord, that you're working in each of our lives right now, Heavenly Father, Lord. And I praise you, and I thank you for all that you do. And God, again, we lift up these needs to you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, tonight we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians, and there's going to be some familiar scripture. And like I said, I'm not going to keep you too long, but I want to read it first out of the King James, because, and we're going to be there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And you know, most of you know, that I'm not a King James only guy. But every scripture that I know that God's allowed me to remember and to grasp has been given to me in the King James. And sometimes I know people say that there can be some things lost in the translation, but man, just sometimes it's just beautiful out of the King James. And so let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, or in clay jars. Now, if you read back a little bit further here, what that treasure is it's the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking our penalty for our sinfulness, and then exchanging his relationship, exchanging his righteousness for our sins. And so we have this treasure. We have this precious gift, and it's within us, and it's in these earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, so then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, that which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, may God add the blessing to the reading of His Scriptures. But I want to talk to you about the idea of this too shall pass. I want to read this again, and I want to read it from the Christian Standard. Now, we have this treasure, the gospel of Christ, the reality of Jesus and His saving grace, in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not ourselves. Now, listen what he's saying. He's saying that we have been given, and this is Paul writing, This gift of salvation has been given to us, not only just for our eternity, so that we will be saved, but also that the power of God might be revealed, and that it's not our power. In verse 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, meaning that we have pressure being placed on us most of the time, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The idea of being perplexed is confused. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Looking back over the past month, 16, 17 days, not only what I've seen that's going on in my life, but also what I've seen go on in the life of the people at Thomas Village, the deacons, those that's committed to stepping up and taking different roles for the Lord, I've seen how just life is coming against them, and I've told somebody I've not been able to tell what's up and what's down or anything like that. But notice what he says. We're confused. We're perplexed. But guess what? We're not in despair, meaning that we may not know what's going on right now, but we know who holds right now and who's in charge of right now. Verse 9, he says, we are persecuted but not abandoned, meaning that yes, the world is turned against us. Yes, we feel, and just like today, it looks like that the hearing on Roe versus Wade and really the 15 weeks abortion ban. After 15 weeks of pregnancy in Mississippi, it's illegal to have an abortion. Praise God. That's wonderful. It should be no abortions at all, but praise God. But we're not abandoned. Praise God. Not only do we have other brothers and sisters, and that's really meant a lot to me over the past few days, but praise God, we have the Lord standing on our side. He says we are struck down, meaning that, hey, there's things in life, there's situations in life that pull the rug out from underneath you and you find yourself looking up. But guess what? We're not destroyed. God has not brought us this far to let us go. We carry, listen to this, we carry the death of Jesus in our body. What does that mean? It means that we die to self. When we get saved, we say, my life is no longer mine. It is Christ Jesus. And His life, His righteousness, His resurrection, that's mine. And so every day we have to die to ourselves. We carry, verse 10, we carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may be displayed in our body. What does that mean? It means that there's times that we don't do what we want to do in our flesh. Why not? Because we sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it goes on to say in verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to the death of Jesus. We're giving over to the death of Jesus for Christ Jesus' sake, meaning that we take on His image. The sacrifice. Remember, that's what we talked about it as we've been studying Nehemiah, the surrender. Surrendering over to Him and allowing Him to be in control so that Jesus' life may be displayed in our mortal bodies. We're the only Jesus that some people will ever see. We're the only Bible that some people will ever hear. And notice he goes on to say, so in verse 12, so then death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit, listen to this, since we, and remember what he said, we've been knocked down, we're afflicted, we're persecuted, but we're not overwhelmed by these things. Notice he says in verse 13, he said, and since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping in what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, which is from Psalms 116, verse 10, and he goes on to say, I believe, and therefore Paul saying, I believe and I speak, verse 14, for we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And in like manner, everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we will be resurrected as well. In the same way that His body came out of the grave, our bodies will come up out of the grave. We'll have a glorified body when we come up out of the grave. Verse 15, indeed, everything is for your benefit. Do you know that? Think about that, that God is working right now on your behalf, even though we cannot understand that, even though the situations that we're involved in, the sicknesses, the burdens that we have, the storms that we're poured into by our family members or situations, praise God, God is doing that, and He's doing it, and the outcome will be for our betterment. It's hard to believe, I know. Like I said, when you're laying on your back looking up, things don't look the same when you're standing upright. But praise God, He says that He's going to raise us up and bring us through. Verse 15, indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it will cause thanksgiving. Listen to that. So that grace extends through more and more people. The grace of Jesus Christ that saves. The grace of Jesus Christ that allows us to get through a day. The grace of Jesus Christ that allows us to overcome not only spiritual battles, but physical battles. And ultimately, the grace that we know is going to give us eternal life. That grace should stir in us to a place of thanksgiving. See, Lord gave me, I didn't get to preach about Thanksgiving, so He's letting me talk about it tonight. But it should bring us to a place of thanksgiving. And Brother Paul and I did a study the other day on the New Testament sacrifices. And a part of that, one of the New Testament sacrifices is a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And notice it says that through more and more people, the thanksgiving will increase to the glory of the Lord, that it should just grow and get louder and louder to the uplifting of our Heavenly Father. Verse 16, therefore we do not give up. We don't give up. Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets up. And it's not us who get ourselves up. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. Even though for our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. This is what the focus is going to be on right here. And you've heard this before. For our momentary light afflictions, or the distress and the trouble that we're going through right now, is producing for us an absolute incomparable eternal weight of glory. Meaning that what we're going through right now, compared to what God has in store for us, there's no question about it. What God has in store and what He's working in us will outweigh whatever we go through right now. It's kind of like the idea of a woman having a child. The Bible talks about how that in the midst of it, there's pain, there's a struggle, but immediately when she holds her new child, all that is kind of in the rear view because of the love that's there. For our momentary light afflictions is a producing for us an absolute incomparable and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, so we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Listen to that. For what is seen, the things that we look at every day, the things that distract us, the things that have taken our attention off God, or that try to take our attention off God, it is temporary. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. All right, now, I'm going to get to the sermon, or the message, or whatever you want to call it, the sermonette. This too shall pass. Just quickly, where is that found in Scripture? The truth is that phrase is nowhere in Scripture. And there you can challenge somebody on that, but it's not in there. But the precept or the principle, and I use those phrases a lot. I talk about the precepts of God's Word, or the precepts, the principles of Scripture. What is a precept? It's a general truth that's intended to guide our thoughts and our actions. A principle is a foundational truth that serves as a cornerstone of our beliefs and our behavior. So while the phrase, this too shall pass, is not found in Scripture, the precept and the principle of this too shall pass is seen all through Scripture. It's seen in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and specifically, it's expounded on right here by the Apostle Paul. If you notice, in verse 16, he says, therefore, because of what? Because of all that's because that we're knocked down, we're afflicted, we're beat up, but we're not overwhelmed, we're not crushed, we're not destroyed, we've not been abandoned, and that in fact God is working in us right now, and He's doing something that is going to bring Him glory, but also, like it said in verse 15, it's also for our benefit. All that is true. Therefore, because of this, there in verse 16, therefore, because that we do not give up, we don't stop. Even in the hard times, we learn by the grace and the mercy of God to give God the praise that He's due. Why? Because what we're going through right now is light compared to what God has in store for us. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is the only hell that we'll ever have to face. And I've just got to be, my heart, I mean, as I've been at the house and I know you, many of you are going through stuff. As we think about Sister Jeanette, as we think about those that are sick with COVID, those that's dealing with issues of family, or those that's dealing with issues that really are not of their own making, but we're all going through something. And the fact is that life is hard. Life is hard. Think about this. We come into this life crying like a baby, or as a baby. And then for much of life, or many seasons in life, we continue to shed those tears. As a teenager, we get caught up in the emotional and chemical changes that we're going through, the physical changes, and then you've got the pressures of the world. And I'm telling you, this is a strange world. I would not want to be a teenager. Then as a parent, we realize that we're flawed and really messed up, and we're trying to raise another little human that ain't as flawed and messed up as we are, and we shed tears because we don't think we're doing right, or we're not the parent we need to be. And then after we get through that stage, then there's the empty nest. Our children leave our home. They go out and do their own thing. Then we all age a little bit, and there's the loss of parents. For some, there's the loss of spouses, the loss of children. You see this just seasons of tears because life is hard. And then the older we get, we look back on life and think, I should have did this, or I could have done that if I could just do all over that over again. Life is hard. And the Bible teaches us, says in Job, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. But life is also great. Life is a gift from God. And just for all of those valleys right there, those valley of tears, then between all of that, think about it. There's the blessings. There's the wonder of a child as you begin to learn things for the first time. And as a parent, you watch that child begin to learn. There's the excitement of a first car, the excitement of a first date, of a first love, and of a first kiss. There's a relationship with a spouse that loves you and knows you and still loves you, even though they know you. Seeing your children born and almost having an instant love, an instantaneous love and a bond with them that you can't explain, but it's as strong as any bond that you'll ever have. There's a relationship of your parents becoming more than a parent, and they become your friend, and you enjoy spending time with your parents and your grandparents. Then you get to hold your grandchild. You get to spoil your grandchild. And then in the midst of all those mountains and in the midst of all those valleys, somewhere in all those up and downs, the reality of our Creator's love shines into our life. And that our Creator, not only did He create us, but His love drove Him to enter His creation and to live a life perfect and then die on the cross for our sins. I mean, yes, life is hard, but there are so many things in life that are a blessing and that's good. And think about what He's saying, that in the midst of all those things, about those things, is that it's always changing. The seasons are always moving. And whatever you're going through right now, it's not going to last forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it's good, praise God, enjoy the good right now. If it's bad, give God the praise in it and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your child. Thank you for allowing me to be able. I know it's not easy. I know. And that's when it's more of a sacrifice, when it's not easy. But I read something today, and that's what I want you to remember, that this too shall pass. Whatever you're going through right now, it's going to pass. And one day, you won't even hardly remember it because the exceeding, what does it say? It says, for the light afflictions, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As I was studying today, I read behind some other people, and I read a poem, and I'm going to read you this poem, and then we'll wrap it up. But I'm not going to read you the whole poem because it's pretty long. But it's called If by Rudyard Kipling. Listen, I'll read you the first two parts and then the closing. It says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting you, if you can wait and not get tired of waiting, or being lied about, do not deal in lies. Or being hated, do not give way to hating, and yet not look too good or talk too wise. Listen to this. If you can dream, but not make your dreams your master. If you can think, but not make your thoughts your aim. If you can meet triumph and disaster, treating both of these impostors just the same. If you can bear to hear the truths you have spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you have given your life to be broken, then stoop and build them back up with worn out tools. And then he goes on, I challenge you, it's called If by Rudyard Kipling. And this is how he closes it out. Listen to what he says. He says, then yours is the earth and everything that is in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Now, it's an awesome poem, but that ending doesn't go far enough. He says, if you can do these things, if you can recognize that things are fleeting and it's always changing, he says, well, the earth is yours and you'll be a man. But you know, it goes further than that. All of heaven and all of earth is yours. Hallelujah. But more than that, the creator of heaven and earth is yours. And hallelujah today. Praise God. He loves us enough. He loves us enough that he's built us a home with him. And you know what? That's like, you know, the one thing about mamas and daddies and their house is you can mess up, you can wreck your car, you can make a mistake, but mom and daddy's house is always open to you. And hallelujah, as we go through all the stuff we're going through, as we're being pressed on, as we're being perplexed, as we're being persecuted, as we're having that pressure and that trials and those works being pushed on us, hallelujah, there's a home that's waiting for us, and that this too will pass. But what he has in store and what he's doing in you right now, the work he is doing in you as a believer, praise God, it will last, because he is the author of the eternal. So we don't get locked in on what we see, but we focus on that which is unseen, on Jesus Christ, on his love, his grace, and his mercy. Praise God, I am glad to be back with you. I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. As we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior, let's be reminded that he didn't have to save us. He didn't have to come into his creation. He could have left us to our own demise, but praise God, he loves us. He loves us more than we can understand. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, I pray, if you'll just say something simple like, God, if you're there, I'm listening. God, if you're there, I'm listening. I'm tired of wondering. I want to know you, the Creator. I believe tonight that he will reveal himself to you. And if you've got questions, if you've not been saved, I'd love to show you what saved is all about. Really what it is it's the Lord and the Creator becoming who he is in your life, who the Bible says that he is, and that he'll become closer to you than any relationship you have on this earth. But if you're going through trials, let us know. We want to pray for you. If you've got praise reports, send them in. But hallelujah, it's been good to be with you tonight. I pray to see you Sunday. And if nothing else, remember, nobody loves you like Jesus. But if you'll let us, the folks here at Thomas Village would like to try to love on you a little bit. God bless you. I love you. And you have a good night, okay? Good to be back. Bye-bye.